Hello and welcome to today's episode of Mental Health Musings. We talk and sometimes we don't. We write, we express, we listen, we exchange information and sometimes we don't. And so we communicate and sometimes we don't. Quoting Sigmund Freud, unexpressed emotions will never die. They are buried alive and they will come forth later in uglier ways. Our conversation today is around how communication can benefit our mental well-being. Our guest today is a recipient of the Karamveer Chakra Global Fellowship by the United Nations and a communication expert with 2.5 decades of experience in fostering creativity, leadership, and confidence via effective communication skills. Sarika Singh, also a published author and poet, has her mentoring journey benefiting over 2K individuals and institutions in enhancing their communication skills. Welcome, Sarika. Super thrilled to have you on Mental Health Musings today.
Thank you. Thank you, Deepthi, for having me over. And these were such kind words that you said. Thank you for letting me share my thoughts on communication skills. And I think it's a great opportunity for me to talk about how these impact mental health. And many, many congratulations on your yellow cheer, Mental Musings, because you're addressing very painful issues which we secretly struggle with. So thank you. Thank you, Deepthi.
Thank you, Sarika. I feel so lovely to hear from you. And these were the kindest of the words I've heard in the recent past. So I'm really thrilled to have you today on the show. And I'm really looking forward to an exciting conversation.
Likewise. Likewise.
Super, super. So to get started, what is communication in your words? Is it only about talking or is there something more to it?
I'm so glad you asked this question because it's a great question. And especially this one, I get asked more than often. You know, I believe like everything else, we all have our own definition of things, our own conclusions. So many times people ask me, what does communication mean? Does it mean great English? Does it mean big fancy words? Or is it super fluent, super effortless English speech? Or is it about good grammar? So I've been teaching, as you mentioned, communication skills for almost 25 years. And if you ask me, communication is none of these. It's actually nothing to do with English. It's got nothing to do with fancy vocabulary, perfect grammar. It's actually very, very simple. Let me explain with a very simple example. I have a dog. My fur baby. His name is Ryder. And he's literally a humanoid. He's so expressive. He understands each expression, all words of English and Hindi. He communicates just with a look in his eyes. Wow. One tail wag, you know, sometimes a whimper, sometimes a happy bark, but mostly it's without a sound. So obviously, what I'm trying to say is communication is beyond words. Words are just a handy aid. So to me, communication, answering your question, is when you can exactly convey what you want to convey with the exact emotion. And the person you're conveying it to, he or she understands it precisely with its precise emotion. There's no gap between the to and fro message. No misunderstanding. To me, that's communication. Like they say, a picture speaks 1,000 words. That's communication. A bride in India wears a red gaudy dress. That's her communicating her happiness through her attire. So communication, if you ask me, doesn't even need words. Forget about, you know, English skills.
Right. I think this is a very, very wonderful way of putting it across. Because as you rightly said, when we think of communication, it's mainly the language that comes to our mind. Because I think that's the medium which we use to communicate, but it's so much more beyond that, the non-verbal part that you you know, hinted at. And I think one of the key things you kind of called out is when you're trying to communicate, whichever way you are trying to, whether you know, through any language or non-verbally, if the message is getting across to whoever you're meant to, you know, talk to, then it's done. I mean, then you've communicated effectively.
Right. Right. So that's what is communication. Eventually, we're just trying to communicate a thought from me to you, an emotion from me to you. It doesn't need any paraphernalia around it. Of course, our mind is conditioned. We are trained. Okay, you speak well, you be on the stage, you're able to communicate. All those things, they come in handy, indeed. But they're just an aid. In learning all those skills, one should not forget what the real, you know, substance is.
Right. And I think you used the word emotions while defining communication, and we'll come back to that in our conversation from here on, because I really want to reiterate this point again. Right.
Sure.
And so there's another thing that communicating assertively, I mean, we can communicate in so many ways. There would be emotions, there would be other things highlighted through that.
Right.
Communicating assertively, I think, means conveying one's own needs, wants, and maybe feelings honestly, right? But while also being respectful of others. And when we don't express as much, which is be as much assertive when needed, it can impact both our professional and personal lives.
Huge.
So, right. So do you think there are any key things that will help all of us be assertive and be able to also draw boundaries by way of the communication skills itself?
Right. You've brought out a very, very valid concern, boundaries. And in fact, this assertiveness, this is a concern most of us are struggling with, being assertive. You know, a child, he knows how to answer in class, but he'll not stand up. He'll not speak on his own. He's not assertive. So many times we want help. Sometimes we don't know where to get it, whom to ask. But more than often, we know where to get that help, but we're too shy to ask. Whether it's, you know, in the workplace, for example, you want a promotion. You know you deserve a promotion. But how do you praise yourself? How do you ask for a raise without sounding, say, boastful? You don't know. You're just shy from being assertive. True, you rightly said assertive communication is about stating your needs, but clearly and respectfully. You let others know where you stand, but also you acknowledge their position. And boundaries, yes, absolutely. They go hand in hand with assertion. You want to say no, for that you need to assert yourself. But you don't know how to draw boundaries. More than often, you struggle. And because of that struggle, you get frustrated. You land yourself in very, very difficult situations just because you don't assert. In fact, thanks to a lot of people questioning me on my podcast, I did have to answer a lot of things about how to ask what you want, how to say no, how to praise yourself, how to speak your mind. Because good communication skills are extremely important if you want to be assertive and if you want to draw boundaries. It's like a life skill. It's nothing less than, you know, learning how to swim if you're going to dive in deep waters. But it's also hard to be assertive when you lack the skills to communicate. And when you fear, there'll be repercussions if you speak your mind. You need to respect true. But you also need to respect yourself when you're respecting the others. Your rights, your needs. Sometimes people forget either of the two while asserting. So we all sit and we worry about, you know, judgments. What is going to happen? I mean, for example, if your boyfriend, if he's usually running late and is again late today when you wanted to see a movie, you can say, "What's this? You're always late. Now the movie is ruined." You know, you could say something like that. But you could also say it assertively and say, You know, we were to meet at 4, but it's 4:40. It's past the movie's interval. I need to be back home in half an hour. I mean, you've said the same thing, but you've said it assertively, respecting the other person, without creating a conflict, putting your point across. Because in the first instance, you were just stating a fact. The second one, there's no smell of being judgmental, there's no blame game. So you need to be assertive and stay very factual about what you don't like. That's what will help in defining clear boundaries. And once you do that, your mental health will be taken care of. The other person's mental health will be taken care of because there's no conflict arising out of it. So
Right.
assertiveness and boundaries, they come hand in hand. But most importantly, you have to think of doing both the things respectfully, respecting the other person and respecting yourself. We often forget either of these two. That's where the whole mess begins.
True, true. There is so much power in being able to say no, which we really undermine. And I think a lot of it stems from the fact that you just mentioned that we have this fear of judgment, and a lot of times we are not really valuing our own needs, right? And that kind of pulls us back in terms of being assertive about our own very natural needs or important needs, right? So something that you mentioned that try not to be judgmental about yourself. And facts. Facts are something that no one can deny. So yeah, that's actually a very good way to assert your assertiveness
Right, so like
in
there's a very fine line between, say, being rude and being straightforward. You just have to
yeah.
know how to clearly define the line. And that's literally about the boundaries that we talk. But when it comes to actually living it, all boundaries are forgotten. Believe you me, even I forget boundaries. I'm here preaching about communication skills, but we're all human.
Yeah.
And we keep learning with each every day.
That's true. So, what are the core communication skills you think will help an individual express themselves freely? I mean, being assertive, I think comes at the top according to me, because it takes care of a lot of the other peripheral things. Is there anything else you feel that one should absolutely learn to cultivate as far as communication skills are concerned, which will in the end help the person express himself or herself better?
Absolutely. In fact, these days, most of the people they often come to me with issues around social anxiety. That's a big concern which ties down your communication skills and which does not let you bring out your A game. Because when you're socially anxious, you tend to have low self-esteem. You tend to have poor confidence. So your communication turns passive, and because you're passive, your needs are not met, which makes you even more anxious. And that anxiety, it makes you even more passive. So it's a vicious cycle. For example, let's say if you're vegetarian, and suppose all your colleagues are going to a restaurant which has very few non-meat options. If you're socially anxious, the chances are you will not say anything. You will quietly go there. You'll sit with everyone. You'll not eat. You'll not enjoy the meal. You'll be scared that it's non-vegetarian because you're strictly vegetarian. But you will not say anything. You'll keep thinking, oh, what will they think? They'll think, I'm being difficult. So in the process, nobody else even knows what you're going through. And you're the one who'll suffer. Once, I was training a group of young professionals, and this was something very different. It was on brand communication. And there was a room full of bright young minds. So I remember this one person. He had the brightest of all ideas. But he was so underconfident. Whenever I asked him to share his viewpoint, he would start so softly, timidly, and in fact, apologetically. And he would say things like, this could be a stupid idea, and if you also agree, you may just look at changing the setting from, say, this angle. I mean, his idea was the greatest idea in the session. But the way he put it, no one valued it. Because he started with, you know, this could be a stupid idea. Then he said, but if you also agree. So he's looking for validation. He himself did not value his own ideas. And later, sometimes what happens is somebody else would reframe his idea, actually hijack his idea and say it so confidently that everybody starts thinking, wow, what an idea. It was the same idea. But what the first person was struggling with was good communication skills. He had the bright ideas, but he didn't know how to put them across. So this can be very distressing and this can have a big impact on your life.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's not what you say alone that matters, how you say it. If you build your communication skills, it's not about public speaking. It's not about just saying anything randomly, going on the stage or talking to a group of people. It's communication is about communicating. What is going on in your mind? Are you able to put those thoughts across to the other person? And is he understanding and interpreting it the way you would want him to? Because both your needs have to be met if you want to communicate effectively. And social anxiety is a killer when it comes to communication skills. They bring down each other. Good communication skills is majorly hampered with social anxiety.
Very true. I think this is, again, a very important aspect that you brought about. For someone who is socially anxious, communication skills may be weak because, of course, there is anxiety about social gatherings, meeting new people, and even confrontation. And they may have some difficulty expressing their thoughts and feelings openly. And one of the biggest challenges I feel for someone with social anxiety is starting conversations and then keeping them going. So I think that's, they don't get a start. And for someone who is the person you just mentioned, for someone who is really full of such beautiful ideas, then of course the distress starts. You know, that then there's disappointment that I have these ideas, but how can I tell it?
True, true. In fact, you know, coincidence as it may sound, the psychiatrists call it the social anxiety disorder, which is the acronym is SAD. So it's SAD, you know, it's actually very sad because more than often I meet so many people who have this problem. I'm not a doctor, I'm not a medical practitioner to diagnose it, but I see the symptoms. I see how they're suffering and I help them overcome it because they're shy, they're underconfident. And as you said, they're socially anxious. But I say one common thing to them and it's really worked for them, which is don't be too hard on yourself. Just start small, take baby steps. Like you said, conversation starting is difficult for them. If you're at a party or say a big gathering, we all go to say networking events. It can be really, really overwhelming if you're socially awkward. You'll find that most socially anxious people will either have their eyes dug into their phone. They won't even look at anyone. Forget about going and chatting up. There's nothing wrong with this. We all do that sometimes. And the whole purpose of attending the networking event is lost. Because if you're standing maybe at the drinks counter and you look like somebody who's available for a conversation, you need to stand with a good posture. You know, your arms should be open by your side. You don't stare at people. You don't look away from them. You look gently. Maybe you give a slight little smile. You look friendly. You look approachable. I tell people, start with a familiar face. Suppose you're going to a place you don't know anybody. You don't find a familiar place. Start with somebody who smiles back at you. You smile at 10 people, at least one will smile back. So gather the courage, go introduce yourself. Try to make that small move, even if you're doing the small talk about, you know, weather or politics or anything which is non-controversial, of course. I know your pulse will be racing, your heart will be throbbing, and but tell yourself, I'm at ease, I'm calm. You have to keep saying this, keep reinforcing this into your head. But also, very, very importantly, I have seen that people who are underconfident are often surrounded by people who keep criticizing them. So I would say, surround yourself with people who are good for your mental health. People who pump you up, who champion you. Criticism is good. But don't always be surrounded by critics and narcissists and all those who are always telling you what you did wrong. So it's very important for you to choose your circle wisely. There you have to take the calls. And all this will take care indirectly, but it will really boost your communication skills. It will really make you less anxious socially, less awkward socially. I think these little changes make a lot of impact eventually on our lives. I've seen it happen with myself, with others, and I think it's worth taking the risk.
Exactly. Yeah, start with a smile. That's such a lovely way to put it. When you are not sure how to start with a smile, and there will be someone maybe equally feeling awkward who will feel welcomed by your smile, and you never know, the
conversation. Yeah, you never know. You might just become best friends.
Correct. So smile can be a great conversation starter, I think. Yeah, that's a lovely thing to kind of note. And so there are so many things beyond words, like you mentioned, the posture, how you stand, how you keep your arms, all of that really make a difference to how you're feeling, right? And that indirectly will contribute to make you feel confident and approach someone.
Exactly. So, all these people who are doing these lovely TED Talks and who are brilliant speakers on the stage, they take hours to look like the way they are. It just doesn't happen by default or by some magic. Their hands move in a certain way. They want to look approachable. They want to be great communicators. So they're conveying it to you. You don't even realize. You analyze some of the talks by, say, the leaders like Obama and all of them, the best orators in the world. You realize there's so many figurative language. They're using metaphors. They're using repetition. They're using so many techniques to add power to their language. And we don't realize it as ordinary souls. We just see the whole package. Oh, wow. That's all we say. I can't be like him. But there are a lot of things we can do. We can learn. We just have to be open to that learning.
Yes. Magic lies beyond the learning. And once you keep on trying, I think the result is nothing short of a magic.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That is true. I also feel a lot of times, if I were to attend a networking event, everyone's going to be unfamiliar strangers, right? So that can seem boring as well.
Boring? Initially, I would not even attend these events. I would make excuses not to go only. That day, I would have stomachache, and that day, I would have other agendas so that I don't have to go. But I think those were the stupidest mistakes I did. And learning from them now, I feel, oh my God, I would have made such nice friends with such important people if I had gone. And, just shared a smile.
Exactly. Smile works. Smile definitely
True.
Works.
Today, at least. Today being Valentine's Day, I think smile will work in more ways than one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Smile can do wonders. Let's not get into that. But then I think sometimes what we forget is we feel that maybe we are the only ones who are feeling not sure of, how to start a conversation. But I think there, in the room full of people, there would be others who would be feeling the same, and they're just waiting for you possibly to approach and start a conversation. So I think if we possibly remind ourselves of that, it can add to the confidence. Like, okay, it's fine. Everybody's the same. Everybody's
Absolutely.
Thinking the same. And just Go and talk. But I think this all of this becomes a little tad too difficult for someone who is socially anxious. So is there something that can help as a preparation before they, let's say, go out for an event or meet someone? Is there something that they can prep themselves with? Are there any
Oh
let's say
yes,
tweaks or tips?
lot of things one can do if you want to go for an event and you want to try out and see what will work apart from the smile that is. Try engaging in little small talk, little initiation. Ask for a favor. That's the simplest one people do. Can you watch my bag while I'm gone, to the washroom? The other person starts feeling important. Another thing which I've tried, tested, and which a lot of my friends and people I work with, they found it useful is you meet somebody, say you go to a networking event and you're meeting, say, 10 different people, and you try hard to remember their names. But some of them you do remember. So when you're speaking to them and during the conversation, just mention that name once again, once or twice. So, Deepti, you rightly said this, dot, dot, dot. Instead of saying, so you rightly said this, the minute I mention your name in the conversation, we all love to hear our name. The minute somebody says our name, we want to speak to that person. We want to be with that person. It's just how we are. So, all these little tricks and tips, they make you very comfortable around people. And people start wanting to be around you. Suppose I've met you today at an event and I remember your name next time I'm meeting. Yes, Deepti, it was really nice meeting you the other day. Instead of thinking, what was her name? Should I ask her name again? So all these things do make a lot of difference. But it becomes very difficult to deal with someone whom we see is experiencing stress. Because very often we don't realize a person is stressed, and there can be a lot of dangerous situations where somebody is experiencing stress. That's where I think effective communication really comes into play. Because if you don't speak up, it just becomes very difficult. Rest everything is a breeze. Sooner or later, you'll learn how to do the small talk. You'll learn how to engage with people. You'll learn how to make friends. But if there's something deep down bothering you and you're not able to speak it out, then that's a real point of concern.
Yeah, it is difficult. It is difficult for a lot of us to express ourselves in different situations, actually. And let's say some people might be okay to talk about stuff with their friends, but they may not be so comfortable in talking with strangers or in the work environment. So I think even some situations can make people uncomfortable in terms of openly expressing themselves. And also depends what is it that they want to talk about, right? If they trust the people around, or again, they are forced to kind of shut themselves off because of fear of judgment. So, but then I think, like you mentioned, sometimes we are in a position to kind of notice that people around us are undergoing some kind of stress or are possibly anxious, and they are not really sure how to reach out to others, right? Is there a way to help our friends, family, even colleagues who are undergoing stress so that they may feel supported and feel heard? Is there a way to do that by way of effectively communicating with them if we see someone like that around us?
Thank
Is
you
there a way?
for asking this question because it's a very tricky question. Especially because most of the times we don't notice the stress. We only notice the reactions people give when they're stressed. For example, just imagine if there's a boss who's perpetually angry. The staff is only going to notice this boss is absolutely angry all the time. They won't notice he's stressed. If the child has his grades falling, which is a symptom, maybe the teacher notices his report card, notices he doesn't know the subject. So first she'll scream at him in front of the whole class, bringing his confidence down, giving him a punishment, doesn't notice he's stressed. There could be other factors. Because stress, like depression, just like depression, if you ask me, both these things often go unnoticed, and we notice the reactions. We don't notice the symptoms. And having said that, if you're lucky and you have noticed that the other person is stressed, especially if it's someone close to you, it can be very hard for you as well. You're not a doctor, so obviously you're not trained to help them change the situation that's causing the stress. But there's lots of practical communication, which as a friend, as a family member, which you can communicate and help. And in fact, I call it a three-pronged strategy. When you want to help a friend or a family member through effective communication, a person who's really tormented by stress. So the first thing I would say is, listen to them. While communicating, that you're listening, you validate, you empathize. Validation and empathizing is an absolute must. Like, let me explain. So a very important thing is how you listen, because everyone must have given them some advice, some reaction. What they need for someone is to hear them. Hear why they are stressed. Hear what is it that's bothering them. And you have to listen actively. I recently did a whole podcast on listening actively, because it's a huge area which really needs attention. And you listen actively without interrupting. You don't listen, you know, immediately giving your reaction or waiting for them to stop so that you can say something. When you're listening, you don't answer that WhatsApp message which just popped up on your phone. You let them speak. And when you speak, you rephrase it back to them. So I hear that, you know, you're finding the office politics very stressful. Or I hear that exams are really stressing you out. When you say something like, I hear, you're conveying that you've heard them. And that thing is getting registered in their head. They feel they are heard. So this validation of their feelings will make a whole lot of difference, a world of difference to them. You try to understand their perspective, you empathize, you put yourself in their shoes. When you say things like, I understand why you feel that way, such words are going to make a huge difference. There's a second aspect that when you're communicating, you don't be judgmental. You have to really watch your statements when you're listening to somebody, because statements like, everyone is at work has noticed there's something wrong with you. Really? Were you trying to help? You're just bringing them down further, and that's not your objective, right? The third aspect I would say is, there will be time when the other person who is stressed is not open to talk. He's not up to it. So don't push it. But communicate. Communicate your reassurance. Reassure them that you're there for them. Very often people who are stressed don't want to talk. They're not comfortable talking to anybody about it. So you can only say, I noticed you look a little down today. The other day I met one of my friends and I just told her, I said, you look a little pale today. So slowly and steadily, she warmed up and she started talking, because I reassured her. Especially when someone is in the middle of a stressful time, it can be really hard to see when it might end. So your reassurance really helps them look at things in a better light. So like you asked this question, how to handle it. Number one, I would say communicate that you are listening actively. Validate and empathize with them. Number two, you do not judge, come what may. And finally, communicate your reassurance. Be there for them and tell them you're there for them. It really makes a huge difference in what their thought process is at that point in time, because they're really down in the dumps and You can really help them come up slowly, but wait patiently. It'll take quite a lot of peels of the onion for you to really see what the problem is. So don't try to burst it all out in one go. It's not going to happen that way.
Right. Exactly. I think this is so very important. Listening is also communicating, is what you actually said just now, right? It's not just about talking, talking, talking. It's giving the person some space and creating an environment that at one point in time they will be able to communicate with you in terms of putting in actual words, expressing their emotions in words. Until that time, listening and just letting them know that you are there is good enough, and it's going to be an important thing that we can do for people around us. Very important, actually.
True, you
And
must be thinking that you're there for them. Oh, he knows that I'm there for him. No, please don't believe that. Go ahead and tell him you're there for them. Sometimes it's good to just spell it out. Say it in those clear words. I'm there for you. It's good for the ears. You know, between our husband and wife, between parent and child, between a teacher and a student, in all relationships, we all appreciate that reassurance.
Exactly. No, this really sounded so great to the ears that I'm there for you right now when you said so, right? Imagine someone who really, really wants to hear this from their own people. It will be really like music to their ears. So
Absolutely.
go
Imagine
ahead.
there's a friend who's waiting, who's really feeling sad, and you go and you just pat her on her back or just give her a warm hug. And suddenly there's a cathartic moment and she bursts. What is that? That's just a reassurance you've just given her. And she'll burst open just because she feels that you're not judging her, you're there for her. You're communicating with that hug. It doesn't need those fancy grammar and vocabulary and big words. So it's eventually boils down to how you're communicating through your body language, through your verbal, non-verbal cues, through everything, not only just the words.
Exactly. And without us realizing, when we do all of this for people around us, right, this is a step forward in creating meaningful relationships with each other, feeling connected. And all humans, all of us are social animals, and therefore meaningful relationships are central to our existence. In fact, there are proven links also to having strong social connection and improved overall mental well-being with reduced daily stress and like a shield against anxiety. But being lonely or isolated can obviously adversely affect our mental, emotional, and physical health also. But having said that, forming meaningful relationships may not always be an easy thing, as we have seen so far, right?
Right.
But since there is a way to communicate beyond words, there is a way to, you know, express in so many ways mentioned. Do you also feel that communication is very important in building and nurturing relationships?
Building relationships, 200%. Nurturing relationships, 1000%. So communication is mandatory. It's, I think, quintessential to any relationship. So whether it's a child, imagine there's a newborn baby, he's crying and the mother realizes that baby needs milk. So with that cry, the baby is communicating to the mother that I need milk. It's the beginning of a relationship. That communication has initiated a relationship. If the baby doesn't cry, the mother doesn't realize. So it's a two-way street. Like that, every relationship that we have in our lives is around communication. The more we nurture it, the more we nourish it, the stronger it becomes. What are all these things celebrating? Anniversaries and birthdays and Valentine days and all that. These are all reassurances that we give to all the relationships. We are communicating our thoughts. through these events. We are showcasing our love. We go to somebody's funeral, stand by him, because we are showing, we are conveying it to them. We are communicating that I'm there by you in your tough times. That isn't that building a relationship? That's completely nurturing and strengthening a relationship. So whether it's a positive or a negative situation, communicating with family, friends, strangers is absolutely necessary for any kind of social setup.
Yeah. That's true. So communication essentially is letting the other person know about your own emotions, your wants and feelings, as we talked about it early on. And if you don't do a good job of that, the other person a lot of times is left clueless in terms of what is actually that's going on the other end. Mm. Right? And then there are hence misconceptions or judgments and assumptions that happen, which kind of keep on
misunderstandings.
Building up.
Misunderstandings. Yeah. It's purely exactly. A communication problem. There's nothing else. Mm-hmm. And that's what kills more than half the relationships. One person is waiting for the other person to come and apologize, and it takes them the whole lifetimes to, and the relationships just stay sour.
So I was thinking, Sarika, a lot of times, we are not comfortable talking about things, but is writing it out as relevant or as suitable equally effective? Because at certain times, I think it happens a lot of times. It's just so difficult to put it all in words and just say it. But when you think of writing, it seems safer. Right? It seems a little less direct or non-confrontational, so to say. But is that also as effective? Would you suggest taking that direction, if at all?
Oh, yes. In fact, writing can be beneficial for all of us because it's actually therapeutic. You're venting out. Writing therapy, there's a term for it. It's called journal therapy. And it's exactly like that, journaling for therapeutic benefits. Because it helps you work through your emotions, through your thoughts, it regulates your feelings. It even has physical benefits. It has a lot of, it's expressive writing. Because people are encouraged to write about their thoughts, to manage and learn from negative experiences. It strengthens their immune systems and their minds. So, journal therapy is a big thing. It's a very safe way of, you write something down, you're exploring your thoughts and emotions, your relationships, life stories, what you dream about, your aspirations, and your deep down, you have the secrets, which you otherwise find it very difficult to confront. You can write a journal, you can write a diary. A lot of my students like to write diaries, because they feel they're able to share a lot of things which they cannot share with other people. So this hugely impacts the mental health. It has a long history. You'll see a lot of these psychology textbooks talk about, therapeutic writing. Writing as a form of therapy.
True.
Because you write about anger, you write about grief, you write about anxiety. It's the quietness of writing, and there's no immediate listener. There's nobody to judge you, to interpret what you're saying. It brings a lot of peace and helps your thoughts from your subconscious to rise up, taps into your feelings that you didn't realize you had. So I think it's great for mental health. There are probably huge number of books around this. but it can really help you overcome your traumas, your relationship problems, your emotional dilemmas and things like that. Because writing doesn't talk back. It just listens as you scribble your thoughts out. That's the beauty. Otherwise, the minute you say something, the other person is ready to reply back. Writing doesn't do that.
It's like communicating with yourself.
True. And once you write, you're able to register a lot of thoughts which you otherwise you didn't know you had. When you spell them out, half the battle is won because you've acknowledged that thing. The minute you write it out, you're venting to your best friend, which is actually yourself, who's actually yourself. So I think that's immensely good for your mental health. You think about communicating with the rest of the world, first communicate to yourself.
True. So, and there's no fear of judgment. You're just writing it for yourself. So that's gone out of the window.
Exactly. And you become very peaceful after it. Try it out. Try writing a diary today. I would just, suggest it to all your listeners that just try writing a diary. Don't write about, I got up in the morning, 6 o'clock, brushed my teeth, did my, took a shower. Don't write about all these things. Write about one good thing that happened and one terrible thing that happened during the day. Just these two things. Something somebody did which you really, really liked, or somebody terrible that somebody did, or you feel, I wish I hadn't done this. I wish I hadn't shouted on my child. I wish I hadn't shouted on my driver. I wish anything negative and one positive thing. Write it down. A lot of aspects of your own personality will be addressed once you're writing these things down. And once you write it down, it'll also improve your written communication skills because you'll see, okay, I felt this, but what I'm writing, is it exactly conveying what I wanted to convey? Because you're very clear about your thoughts. If your writing, if your diary shows very clear communication that you were angry, are you really writing it down in those many words? Are you framing it correctly? Slowly you'll see your writing improve. Your written communication skills improve. It's a great methodology.
True. So I think, as you said, writing it out is a great way to empty your mind if it's burdened and burdened with so many things. And if you've got a lot of suppressed things inside waiting to kind of explode, before that happens, just take a pen and a paper and write it out and then possibly reflect how it's making you feel. You will realize that, you feel much peaceful, as you said, and I think I'm very sure it'll make you feel lighter than how you were feeling before that.
Absolutely.
Very true. Very true. Sarika, is there anything very close to your heart, a personal anecdote that you think our listeners would benefit if you were to share it with us? Anything?
Yes, Deepti, I think thank you for asking that. And I will definitely share something from my own life, my own personal trauma. And in fact, my upcoming episode of my Communicate 101 podcast is around the same trauma, because I lost my father in February of 2023, precisely on 19th Feb. And that's why I've dedicated my podcast to him, the episode. So my father was a very celebrated scientist, a true educationist. He had some swelling on his feet, very little swelling, but it was obvious. Otherwise, he was fit. He used to do an hour of Ramdev yoga. He was very active and so on. So just as a precaution, we went to his GP. We ran every possible test in the world. They did several biopsies. This salt is up, that salt is down. They did everything from right up to the PET scan for cancer. They could not find what was wrong, what was causing all this. For his last couple of months, last 3-4 months, he was in and out of the hospital, in and out of the ICU. Over the last few months before he left, he had just stopped eating. He was very reluctant to eat. The doctors, in fact, would ask him, do you not like to eat? Do you find it difficult in your food pipe when you're consuming food? But he would just say, no, I'm eating enough. He would just have a few spoonfuls of forceful feeding by my mom, and that's about it. In fact, he finished his last book, his Giving Back to the Society mission, a master's level pharmacy volume, some 550 pages, first handwritten, then typed by himself using very sophisticated chemistry software, just 1 week before he left. So he was mentally active. His loss was a shock. It's almost a year now, and I'm still struggling to cope. I'm still grieving. It's still as hard. They say life goes on, but it's painful, extremely painful to lose a loved one. And I find myself a very changed person. I've grown up by some 20 years. I've started living completely in the present, because now, more than ever before, I feel present is all we have. I've become kinder. I see that I've become more forgiving as a person, because your blessings at present is all we all have. In my entire last 1 year, I've seen my friends and family have been my strongest support. And I'm thankful to everyone out there. So I would just say to everyone tuned in here, and anyone who's going through any kind of anxiety or loss or stress, my personal advice is just live in the present and count your blessings. Focus on what you have, because that's all you have. That's precisely all you have. So focus on what you have and not what you don't have. This has been my mantra.
I would really, first thing I want to do is send you a virtual warm hug across to you wherever you are right now sitting. Because thank you so much for sharing this. Of course, this would have been very difficult for you to, talk about it right now, because, you have to think back to the things which have been so difficult for you. Losing someone we love, the pain and the loss, the void that is left after that is unmatched. I don't think there are any words that can really match to describe that. And hence, talking about it is obviously very, very difficult, and I'm really grateful to you for sharing that with us today, and sending you millions of warm hugs right now.
Thank you.
And I'm really wishing you all the power, all the strength that you'll ever need forever. And as cliche as it might sound, but present is a present. And it's a wonderful way of putting it when you said that focus on things that you have instead of what you do not have, because that's real, right? What you have is real. If you cannot
face
appreciate
it,
what you
you're,
have,
you're helpless at certain things. Just face it. So the sooner you realize, I think the easier it will become. But communicating that to yourself is very important. I've had countless sessions of communicating with myself. My mantra has been to be neck deep in work, and I'm totally enjoying it, because I'm sharing myself more and more with more people, more students across India, across the world, and sharing my experiences, sharing certain things where I can help them in their life, in their journeys, reduce their stress levels, improve their communication skills, without really making it my business or without really making it my money churner. I think that has kept my sanity intact, and that gives me tremendous peace of mind. I would just urge everyone to share more and more with people around you. Communicate to your friends, to your family. Whenever you need any help, please seek help. It's not wrong to seek help. Convince yourself that whenever you need help, you need help. Don't be shy looking for help. Communicate this to yourself very loud, very clear.
That's true. I think we should take some time to let that sink in. It is important to find a way to express yourself, find a way to express yourself the way you want, the way it works for you, whether you write it out, whether you talk, whether you find other ways of putting your emotions and words and thoughts into something that will help empty your mind, right? I think it's super important, because if that doesn't happen over a period of time, it does affect our overall health, whether it's our mental health and our physical health. Since both are connected, eventually it can start affecting our health. So find a way to express constructively, find a way that works for you. And as Sarika stressed right now, reach out, because help is out there in so many forms. You just have to reach out. You just have to let people know that you need help, right? And that's one of the greatest things that you can do for yourself. So really thank you for stressing that, Sarika. It's never enough to really reiterate it, but it's important nevertheless to talk about it as many times as required. And it was an awesome and very warm conversation that we had today, because at the onset, communication is something that might seem very technical and it'll have its do's and don'ts and you know, all of that. But I think from whatever we talked about, discussed and shared, it's really beyond that. And I think the crux of it is communication is all about expressing yourself and making yourself heard, which means the things which are important to you, you know, making them heard because you matter. And that's what communication is, and it affects all the areas of your life. So this has been really, really wonderful. And I really want to thank you again for making time to come and join us today on the podcast.
Thank you, Deepti. And it's been really warm and really nice. And believe you me, communicating here on your podcast and sharing my life and experiences, I'm so glad I could be of help. I may be of some help to someone tuned in there. So hello, everyone, and thank you for such patient ears. And thank you for listening. Thank you for just being there. Thank you, Deepti, for all the time and giving me the opportunity to speak my mind here. Communication is very simple. Please keep it low-key. The best things in life are simple. Let's not complicate them. Let's not put big words around them. Communication skills are all about communication, and they are fully learnable. You're not born with it. You can learn it. You can master it. And you can live a more fulfilling life if you have these life skills around you. Thank you.
Great, Saika. Likewise, I just want to reiterate everything that you just mentioned, because it's it's really valuable that we all of us, bear it in mind. And in conclusion, I just want to, share that you all are allowed to voice your opinion, even if it doesn't align with those around. You're allowed to have a voice too. Just try and express yourself, talk it out, be kind to yourself and to others as well. And if this has made any difference to you today, do like, subscribe, and share. Take care.